All right, and we are back. Welcome, guys. My name is DK, and in this video, we're going to be talking about the 9-game NBA DFS slate on DraftKings. Also cover content for player prop stuff like prize picks, underdog, and parlay play. Guys, if you're not familiar with Parlay Play, they're the sponsor of today's video. It's a player prop site. You're building out slips of player props. They do offer alt lines, and you can win up to 155x your money. But my best advice, as always, in these videos is get any of these books and prop sites as possible. And then when you do want to place your bets, you can search for which one offers the best value. So for example, if you wanted to take a Jason Tatum prop tomorrow, you could look at Prize Picks, you could look at Underdog, you could look at Parlay Play. You could see what sports books have the line at and then see, you know, which one offers the best value there. So give it a try. If you do click the link and deposit, it does help support the channel. But yeah, $100 deposit match bonus if you click the link and deposit. And if you look for more content, as always, you can check out my Patreon linked in the description. It's been a massive heater for me in DFS this month, going to be about a 40K month. So let's recap last night. So last night was another huge night for me, and I'm still, though, in moose piss because first place caught me at the very end. Let's talk about a couple things here. Amen Thompson chucked back in the game for the Rockets when they're up 35 midway through the fourth. Why on earth did he do that? I don't know, but he got a couple of fancy points. And for some reason, or for absolutely no reason, I should say, Ochai Agbaji had like 10 fancy points in the last minute of that game. So he ended up catching me. This is an $88 entry. So lost $1,000 on it, but still, you know, it's still a huge night, still over 10x. Yeah, like I said, it's going to be about a 40K month for me for DFS, maybe more. I mean, there's about a week left, so maybe we can build on that. Yeah, the lineup I went with, DeJounte, Vit Kredji, Tatum, Isaac, Bruno Fernando, White, Hauser, and Peyton Pritchard. My question to the Tatum and Derek White faders is how on earth do they know? If you faded them, go play the lotto. No, but seriously, it's wild that Boston put up 124 points, and it's Tatum and White that busted. Everyone else basically smashed. I was high in Pritchard, I was high in Hauser, I was high in Horford, didn't end up playing Horford. Yeah, it's a recap there. So I had a big night straight betting props as well. I've been taking Pritchard PRA basically every single slate, and it's been making me a lot of money playing him in DFS too. So Pritchard's been the goat for me recently. All right, so let's recap everything, guys. Let's get into the video. Okay, so Charlotte and Cleveland first game here. Pretty ugly game. Both teams play slow. Same guys that have been out for Charlotte. Not a ton to like here. I mean, you got Bridges at 8-1, Miller at 6-8, the two guards in the, you know, mid 5.6K for Misich, 6K for Mann, 5-5 for Richards. I mean, it's kind of hard to get to these guys. Can you play one of them? Sure. I mean, the one positive is they're running relatively tight rotation. I think Pogacheski is an interesting contrarian value, 28 and 24 minutes over the last couple games. And Pogu's not a bad point per minute guy, sub 4K. So he's playable, but yeah, there's just not a ton to like on Charlotte. And for Cleveland, we'll keep an eye on the status of Mobley. My guess is he sits on a back-to-back. He played 21 minutes in his first game back tonight. If he does end up sitting, that's going to boost the appeal of guys, you know, Garland and LeVert, Jared Allen, and then you should get Niang in the starting lineup. If Mobley's in, there's really not a ton to like here for Cleveland, so keep an eye on that news. Now, Brooklyn, unfortunately, this is a team I have a lot of interest in. Great matchup, and they're relatively shorthanded. No Cam Johnson, no Dennis Smith Jr., and no Bates Diop. So my guess for the starting lineup is Schroeder, Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges, Jordan Finney-Smith, and Nick Claxton. But then you think through the rotation, it's like, all right, well, who else is going to play? De'Ron Sharp should play the backup five. You're going to get Lonnie Walker probably playing a good chunk off the bench, and then like probably some Wilson. That's eight guys. I mean, maybe you see a little bit of Watford, but this team's pretty shorthanded, and it's a good spot. So, like I said, unfortunately, you got to have a lot of injuries. Cam Thomas is the highest ceiling on this team. Now, he can be relatively score-independent, so the floor is relatively low, but the ceiling is high in Cam Thomas. Mikal Bridges has been disappointing, but he continues to play big minutes, and he's sub 7K. And then I like the price of Nick Claxton, too. He should play low 30s minutes, 6.4K, about a fantasy point per minute player. Dennis Schroeder continues to play big minutes, you know, averaging mid-30s minutes over the last few games. This little revenge spot, if you guys are into that. Dorian Finney-Smith, I mean, you're never going to be excited about playing Dorian Finney-Smith, but he probably pushes for 30 minutes in this game at 4.2. And I like Lonnie Walker as well at 3-4. So yeah, there's a lot to like here for Brooklyn. The backup five, we'll see if it's Sharp or Watford. They've kind of been trolling. The one game that Sharp was chalky, I believe they went to Watford as the backup five. Or like they played him a little bit. But yeah, let's talk about Toronto. So Toronto, no Quickly, no Barrett, no Porter. So we'll see about the starting lineup. Last game they switched up and actually put Ramsey in the starting lineup. However, Bruce Brown actually played more. He came off the bench, played 32 minutes. So I don't really know, if that changes much if Ramsey starts again. I still think Brown will play a lot more. Olynyk at 7.1K, we should see around 30 minutes from him. You know, he's heavily involved in this offense. Almost had a triple-double last game, so I like Kelly O at that price point. Gary Trent Jr., the ceiling's clearly there. He's going to chuck up a ton of shots. I mean, he shot 26 times last time out, so I like his upside. Bruce Brown, Grady Dick, Agbaji, all reasonable plays. 6'2 for Brown, 5'3 for Dick, 5'1 for Agbaji. I think Nwore is a bit overpriced. Ramsey, if he starts again, is playable. But again, didn't really see a minutes bump. He basically saw the same minutes that he was getting off the bench. All right, Boston, Atlanta. Comes down to the status of Derek White for what I want to do with this team. If Derek White's in, I think any of the main guys are playable. Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, White. If Derek White's out, then I think we'd start looking at Pritchard. My assumption would be Pritchard would start, and they would go Pritchard, Brown, Tatum, Horford, Porzingis. If that's the case, Pritchard would be my favorite play in Boston, 5-6. But I'm playing big minutes because the team's been shorthanded, and he's a good point per minute guy and a great matchup. So keep an eye on the status of Derek White. That could open up Peyton Pritchard as a really good play. And then if I had to pick a second guy, probably would be Porzingis, sub 8K. Dealt with a bit of foul trouble last game. I was pretty tilted. I had him again that game against Detroit. But yeah, reasonable price point for him. If the game stays competitive, probably plays low 30s minutes or so. For Atlanta, no Jalen Johnson, no Okongwu. I like the ceiling on DeJounte Murray. Now, there's definitely blowout risk. This Boston team is really, really good. This Atlanta team's not so good. But yeah, DeJounte's doing everything for the team right now. He should play high 30s minutes. So I like the upside there in DeJounte. Bogdanović, Capella, Hunter, all reasonable plays in the mid-range, but no standouts there. Fernando's going to back up Capella. He had a really big game last time out. He's probably going to play around 20 or so minutes. Makes him a solid value. Vit Kredji should continue to start. He should continue to play around 30 minutes. Not a great point-per-minute player, but at least he's getting a lot of run. And then I don't really know if I get to anyone else. Garrison Matthews had a decent game last time out, but I don't know if he can shoot 6 of 8 again. You know, you got Wes Matthews, you got Trent Forrest. It's pretty gross. Even you saw a little bit of a Dylan Windler as well last game, just how shorthanded this Atlanta team is. Detroit and New York, we'll keep an eye on the status of Cade and Duren, also Fettuccine Alfredo. All three missed the game today. However, Cade was just rest, so I assume Cade will for sure be back. But Duren, Fettuccine, we'll see. If Duren misses, Wiseman should start at 5-7. He'd be a good play. You also saw Metu get the start tonight, or today, I should say. Metu had a really good game in 39 minutes. He's a good point-per-minute player. For those that played Metu two games ago and then saw his production, what he did today, what's your thoughts? I'm sure you're extremely happy for him, right? Right? But yeah, you know, guys like Metu, Fournier, I mean, it's gross, Troy Brown, Tosin, these guys, Sasser, these guys could be in play here depending on what happens with Duren, what happens with Fontecchio, and what happens with Cade. Now, for the Knicks, we know what they're going to do. They're going on an extremely tight rotation. It's a great matchup. I mean, there's a good amount to like here for New York. The only thing is potential blowout, but Brunson should play mid-30s minutes if the game stays competitive, like the ceiling on him. I mean, McBride and Hart are literally going to play basically the entire game. 44 minutes last time out for Hart. I think McBride put all 48. DiVincenzo pushed for 40-plus minutes as well. Isaiah Hartenstein's 5'6". He should play mid-20s or so minutes. He's a good point-per-minute player. I like him at 5'6". So there's just a lot to like here from the Knicks. Great matchup. They're running a very tight rotation. Now, Phoenix, fully healthy. It's a good spot. Just a matter of, you know, can the Spurs team keep it competitive? Durant, Booker, and Beal all firmly in play. They're running a pretty tight rotation here, too. All three of the big three should play, you know, high 30s minutes. I think if I had to pick one, it would be Booker at 8-9, but like Beal at 7-2, have Anderson, Katie at 9-3. My boy Nurkic continues to play in competitive games, you know, close to that 30-minute mark, makes him playable. I don't really know if there's a ton else I'm going to get to, though, with the likes of Allen, Royce O'Neal, or Gordon. It's mainly those top-end guys. Now, for San Antonio, the big news is Wembanyama's questionable. That's huge, right? Because if Wembanyama's out, Zach Collins should start play, you know, 25 to 30 minutes. He'd become a really good play at 5K. And then everyone else, like, in the lineup gets a pretty significant usage bump. Guys like Vassell, Jones, Sohan, Keldon Johnson all look way better if Wembanyama's out. But if Wembanyama's out, also increases the chance of a blowout. So you do have to factor that in as well. And then Dominic Barlow would probably play the backup five if Wembanyama's out. So he would be a potential value at 3-7 if there is no Wembanyama. All right, Washington, Chicago. Washington, no Kuzma, no Jones, no Koulibaly. Poole's questionable. Keep an eye on Poole because that could open up some value here for Washington for sure. If Poole's in, my guess at the starting lineup is Poole, Kispert, Denny, Holmes, and then one more. I'm not sure who that fifth starter would be. I don't think they would start the double bigs. I mean, do they throw Baldwin in there? Champagne, maybe? I don't know. Maybe they start Jared Butler at the point. So, and then if Poole gets ruled out, that's going to make the value plays even more interesting. Again, guys like Butler, Champagne, Patrick Baldwin. So keep an eye on that news. So we could have some Washington Valley here. And then obviously a pool's out. You know, Denny, Kispert, get a usage bump. Rashawn Holmes has been playing very well at the five. He should split time with Bagley. 4-8 for Holmes, 5-6 for Bagley. Bagley played 16 minutes in his first game back. Yeah, so we could definitely have some value here for Washington. We definitely do have some value, and we could have even more value if Jordan Poole gets rolled out. Now for Chicago, Coby White, Caruso, both expected to play. It's a great spot here. So I think any of the main bulls are in play. Vooch, DeRozan, Coby, Io, Caruso. I think DeRozan probably stands out the most with the eligibility and price point, but I think any of those main guys are firmly in play. Any of those top-end guys, again, DeRozan being my preferred option. But Vooch, great spot. Coby, Io, Caruso, all in play. So, yeah, the Bulls look pretty appealing here in a really good matchup. Portland and Houston, so... See about Portland. Grant's doubtful. Simons and Ayton questionable. If Simons and Ayton are out, there's a lot to like here for Portland. You should get Duop Reith starting. He'd become a phenomenal play at 4-9. Played 26 minutes last time out. You get some Jabari Walker playing more minutes. He's played 28 and 26 minutes over the last couple games. And then Banton and Scoot kind of run the show offensively. They trolled the starting lineup. Actually started Ashton Haggins over Banton. I mean, Portland continues to just like troll their lineup. They never do what you expect them to do. But yeah, Scoot, Banton, Haggins would all be pretty good plays there if there is no Simons and Ayton. And then, you know, Chris Murray's been playing big minutes too, 4.3K, 36 and 39 minutes the last couple games. He would look a lot better if both Simons and Ayton are out. So if Simons and Ayton are in, then these value plays slash mid-range options don't look as good. For Houston, Jabari Smith is out, no Cam Whitmore. So my guess is they go Jeff Green at the five, but I guess they could go Landale too. Jeff Green's 4-2. I mean, it's not exciting, but he has played well over the last couple games. I would say it's definitely an outlier. Jeff Green's not a great point per minute guy at this point in his career. Landale, decent point per minute. So if Landale starts, I think he'd be a pretty good play. If it's Jeff Green that starts, then it makes things a bit trickier. But, I mean, Jalen Green and Van Fleet kind of been doing everything. Jalen Green especially just been dominating the usage, getting a ton of shots up. I mean, the price is up, but you still got to have interest in him. Van Fleet has a pretty high floor. I think he looks decent. I mean, Thompson should play, you know, close to 30 minutes. He's a reasonable play. Dylan Brooks has been up and down, but he probably plays close to 30 minutes of the game, stays competitive. So there's a good amount to like here for Houston, and we'll keep on the starting lineup. Again, if it's Landale that starts, then he looks pretty good. Dallas, Utah, great spot here for Dallas. I like Luka at 12-8. I mean, he's going to play close to 40 minutes in competitive games. He's doing everything for the team. I do prefer him to Kyrie, but Kyrie's still playable at 9-4. And then I like the bigs, too. Gafford and Lively. Gafford, good point per minute. Been playing mid-to-high 20s minutes and been playing extremely well. And then Lively will back him up. If there is no Maxi Kleba, if Kleba gets rolled out, you should get the full 48 minutes there for Gafford and Lively. So that would make Lively look better if Maxi Kleba can't play. Not really sure if I'm going to get to any of the other value plays, though, for Dallas. Now, for Utah, keep an eye on the status of Markkanen and Clarkson. If they're both out, then obviously a bump in usage to guys like Sexton, Collins, and George. And then a more run for some of these other guys, you know, like Hendricks, Kessler, THT, guys like that, Johnny Juzeg. So if Markkanen and Clarkson are in, I don't think there's anything that really stands out. I think Markkanen would probably be my preferred option, assuming no limitations on him. And then finally, Memphis and Denver. This one's a headache, man. I mean, Memphis has been a headache for the last month or so, but yeah, Desmond Bane questionable, Vince Williams doubtful, Laravia questionable, Conchard doubtful, Stevens questionable. I mean, I don't know. Like, this team's going to be shorthanded. It's a tough spot on the road in Denver. We'll see if Jokic or Jamal Murray are playing too. So this one's kind of hard to talk about. Obviously, I like the ceiling on Jaren, assuming like a lot of guys are out. Aldama and Gigi have been playing big minutes. You know, the guards, Pippen and Goodwin, if a lot of these guys end up getting ruled out and they only have 8-9 guys, they would be solid options. The Goodwin Sharks are punished for absolutely no reason last slate with a floor game in 25 minutes. That I'm still tilted about that one. So yeah, Memphis is definitely hard to talk about right now. And then Denver. So Jokic and Murray both questionable. They sat out the game last time out. We'll see. Now, the thing is, like, do they really need these guys to play against Memphis? Probably not. So if they end up sitting, then Aaron Gordon becomes a phenomenal play at 6-4. He'd probably be the number one option offensively. Almost had a triple-double last time out. I took his over PRA. That hit easily. Michael Porter Jr. So it's usually when this team is shorthanded, he tends to struggle. He doesn't get the biggest, like, doesn't look as good as some of these other guys on Denver. KCP's role never really changes. And then Reggie and DeAndre Jordan will both be good plays. Reggie would start at the point, probably play close to 30 minutes. DeAndre Jordan started last game, did only play 20 minutes, but is good point per minute. So he'd be in play too. So Denver could look really good if both Murray and Jokic are out. If both Murray and Jokic are in, then I like the top end guys, Murray and Jokic, but there would be some blowout risk for sure playing at home against a really bad Memphis team. Okay, so that's going to wrap up the video. As always, if you do enjoy, just make sure to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. We'll see you all in the next video.